Let's begin reading with Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. This is Jesus speaking, and he gives the parable of the lost sheep. He begins by saying, "If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you have given us this message today. May I speak the words that you want me to speak, and may others be encouraged and strengthened. All of us have wandered away at times like this parable talks about, but yet you, Father, are so loving and kind that you receive us back. May we receive from you today what we need from this message. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you the glory forever. Amen. First, I want to start with verse 12, where it says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying?" Here is a parable. Jesus is talking about a man having 100 sheep. Now, first of all, I want to mention that God has countless sheep. And the book of Hebrews tells us that the natural things are a shadow of the heavenly or eternal things. So what mankind could understand is the 100 sheep, because at the time, not very many people had a whole lot of sheep. That's just the culture that they lived in. They maybe couldn't afford it, or they just didn't want to have more than that at one time. But God can handle anything and everything. He created this universe. He can handle all of the sheep in the world. So this parable may be a limited example in terms of viewing it from a man's point of view. But remember, God is infinite in his strength and knowledge, and he can take care of all of us. So I just wanted to mention that real quick. But always, whenever you read a parable, understand that God has just given us a shadow of the type of the heavenly and eternal things that really exist, and God is stronger than we always believe. Now I want to deal with the wanders away, or as a King James Version says, goes astray. The definition of going astray means to go aside from the path of virtue or sin. It also means sever or fall away from the truth, fall into error, or even be deceived. Any one of us who have ever fallen away from God can understand that this means to just simply go a different route than what God has designed for us to go. God has a plan for our life, and he is the one who can guide us down it. But we have to stay with him. We have to hold his hand. We have to always behold his face so we can see where he's at, where he's going, and listen for what he says to do. Why is it so important not to wander away? Well, there's several reasons. One is a slight turn unchecked will lead to being off course and we will miss our destination. An example would be if an airline is heading from point A to point B and they don't listen to the tower control and they go off course just a little, even a fraction of a degree, then they will end up missing their destination. They will go beyond it. So it's important for us to stay on course, and we can do that by listening to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get distracted and we listen to other people or other things, or we get focused on the circumstances. But God is always there to help us through his Holy Spirit to keep us on track. Another reason why it's important to not wander is staying on the path of wandering affects how we understand the Bible as we try to grow in the Spirit. When we are born again, we are babes in the spirit realm. We have to learn how to walk and talk, and basically we're trying to grow, and we have to listen to the Lord and learn how to grow from him. 1 John 4:6 says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." You cannot grow in the Lord if you wander after the spirit of error. The spirit of error is just that. It's an error. It's not the truth. It's not the right way. It's not the way to go. We cannot grow in the Lord if we wander after the spirit of error. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together or be united except they be agreed?" To be agreed simply means that we must just simply believe God. We must take him at his word. He is God, and we are not. So it would behoove us to just simply agree with God, instead of wandering off, or as the Israelites, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Let's just agree with God. Let's lay that down first and say, God, you are God, I am not, so I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to do what you say, and I'm going to trust you. Amen. Another reason why it's so important not to wander away is because consistent wandering will cause us to forget God. Jeremiah 50, verse 6 in the English Standard Version says, My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold. If a person stays in another area long enough, it can become home to them. It can be all they know. If we move from one state to another, it may take some time for us to feel like that place is our home, but eventually it will start to feel like home. Now, if we go away from God, we will start to think that eventually that's where we're supposed to be. That's home. Also, I've been an adult for a long time now, and I sometimes forget what it's like to be a child. Some of the things that were happening in my childhood, I have to have something to help me recollect what happened, because it's been so long. So the further we are from God, and the longer we are away from God, the more we are apt to forget what God is like and who God is. So it's important not to wander away from God. Now let's deal with why sheep wander. When it comes to sheep, sometimes they get close enough to see something worth inspecting, or at least they think it's worth inspecting. So they wander off from the other sheep and go to look at it. In the meantime, they've lost their way from the crowd. So there they are, looking at something else instead of at the shepherd, and they don't even know where they're at now. James 1:14 says, Each one of us is tempted when we are drawn away by our own lusts and enticed. Sometimes Satan will lure us away from God by giving us certain memories of failure or certain things that make us unhappy or anything else that will become our attention, our focus. Instead of focusing on God, we focus on that thing that the devil has brought to us. Or the devil may tempt us with an image or with a desire, and all of a sudden there we are, drawn away from the shepherd and the sheep. It's important for us not to be drawn away by anything that is not of God. Another reason why sheep wander is because they are so busy grazing that they don't realize their flock has moved. How many times in our life have we become so comfortable in one position that we don't realize that God is on the move? Whenever I first felt the call of God to go to Bible college at the age of 26, I didn't go because I doubted God. But it was time for me to move 20 years later whenever God said, I want you to finish what I told you to start. Well, God knew when I needed to move. I stayed too long in one spot, and He knew that it was time for me to move on to what He wanted me to do. So we must pay attention to God and His Holy Spirit within us so that when He tells us to move, we will move. Another reason why sheep may wander is because they want to be the leader. Sometimes the old sin nature tries to rise up within us, and we may want to try to tell God how we should live our life. And that's not the right way to live. We need to always remember, we are not the shepherd. We are the sheep. And the shepherd will always take care of us because he cares for us and loves us. We should never try to be the shepherd. Every time we tried to lead our own life, we failed miserably, and then we have to come back to God and start where we left off. People may get frustrated with God because they don't have any patience for His promises to come true, or they, don't understand the why of life, why someone died, why this happened, why that happened. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If we have any frustrations or we feel like we need to lead our own way, we just need to come to God. He can show us where things are going wrong in our life, in our heart, or whatever, and He will lead us and guide us. And as Psalms 23 says, He will lead us to green pasture. We just have to trust Him and follow Him. Now, another reason why sheep may wander is because they may follow after another sheep instead of the shepherd who guides all of the sheep. You know, people can be slightly in error, and if we align ourselves with them, then we would be like them. We also would have a little distance between us and God. 2 Peter 2 verse 1 says, "There were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you." Sometimes we listen to people who could lead us astray. We must always remember that even though it sounds good, if it doesn't align with the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit within us says, don't believe it, if we feel that check of the Holy Spirit to not believe it, we should always obey the Lord. I've seen people who have led others astray, and they simply did not follow the Word of God. And this caused a gap between them and the Lord, which the devil used to destroy them. Isaiah 9 verse 16 says, "For the leaders of the people have misled them. They have led them down the path of destruction." We must always listen to God and put Him first in our lives. If anything man says disagrees with God, God comes first. Now in verse 12, when it says that the shepherd would leave the 99 behind and go out and look for the one that was lost, it doesn't mean that the shepherd neglects the 99 by leaving them alone, because the shepherd would usually have some help with him, so he would leave the sheep that didn't wander away with the helper. And so the shepherd himself would go out to look for the wandering sheep. This example shows us how much our Lord loves us and values us. He will go seeking after us. Any time in my life when I know that I've been wandering off a little bit, the Lord, I can tell, is always in my heart, nudging me, saying, "Come back, come back, come back. Where are you?" When Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis chapter 3, it says that the Lord called them and said, "Where are you?" Now, God knew where they were, physically, but spiritually, they were not where they should be. But it shows that God sought after them. He looked for them. So, Jesus looks for us. We may not hear Him, but He is looking for us when we wander away. In the Bible, numbers stand for something, just like names stand for something. If you were to take from Adam all the way to Jesus and look up the names and what they mean, it would have a message. This message would tell us of God's redemptive plan. In the Bible, the numerical value of 99 means amen. It also means God's mercy and kindness. The numerical value of 100 means what is full. So the difference between the two is the wayward sheep. With the wayward sheep coming back, that would make the family full. This is one reason why the shepherd goes after the wayward sheep. And here in the verse it says the shepherd seeks. When it says the shepherd seeks, he does it in order to find. It's not just a passive search when we go astray. It's a do or die mission according to the shepherd. He is determined to find us. Psalm 100 verse 3 says that we are God's people, the sheep of His pasture. In ancient times, being a sheep in a pasture meant that you belonged to a sheep family. You see, we are God's sheep. We are part of His family. And God cares more about His sheep than what His sheep produce. Our value is based upon the fact that God created us in His image and after His likeness, according to Genesis. He loves us, as John 3:16 says, so much that He gave us His only begotten Son. He does not want us to perish. He wants us to have everlasting life. Now let's turn our attention to verse 13. It says, "And if he should find it, the wayward sheep, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray." Now like I said a moment ago, the shepherd is bound and determined to find us when we go astray. But it does say here, if he should find it. We have to remember that some people just don't want to be found by God. God will not take us back against our will. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, God said, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now you must choose." It is our decision whether we want to come back to God or not. He can pursue us constantly, but if we don't want to come back, then He's not going to force us against our will. If God could force us against our will, He would make the whole world be saved, and then we would just go on to heaven. But God will respect our will. Did you know that when God created us in His image and after His likeness, He gave us a free will? He created us as He is. He has a free will to love us. So we have a free will to love Him, if we choose. Now, when it says that the shepherd finds the sheep that was wayward, he rejoices. Now, this means to feel or show great delight. It doesn't mean that he's like, okay, well, I found him. That's finally over with. No, he is so happy and exuberant that he rejoices over us. But when it says that he rejoices more over that wayward sheep that was found than the 99 that did not go astray, it does not mean that he loves them less. Zephaniah 3 verse 17 says that he rejoices over us with singing. God doesn't play favorites. He loves us individually with his complete love and loves us all with his complete love. As a mother loves all of her children with her complete love, both individually and together. God loves us all with all that he's got. This is why he asks in return for us to love him with all that we have. In Luke 15 verse 20, it says that the father of the prodigal son ran out to embrace and kiss his wayward son who came back home. Receiving a wayward child back is like they have been resurrected from the dead. Now, this grace should not be taken for granted, though. Some people will wander away purposely just so they think they can come back, and God will forgive them every time. However, God's grace doesn't end, but our sincerity in repenting may. We should never run away from God purposely just so we think we can be forgiven. Playing around with sin is a dangerous thing to do. This grace of forgiveness should not be taken for granted. As Romans 6, 1 through 2 says, we shouldn't continue in sin, that grace may increase. We should live to righteousness instead of sin. Now let's look at verse 14. It says, even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The will of God means his desire, his pleasure, and his purpose, and that is to bless mankind through Christ. God doesn't want anyone to perish, as John 3:16 said. He wants everyone to come to him. He wants to give us his life. He is not trying to withhold it from anyone. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, and I will give you rest. He did not say that there was a condition to coming to him. He just said, come to me. It is an open invitation. It applies to everyone on this earth. So seeing that it's not God's will that we should perish, what can we do to keep from becoming a wayward sheep? Well, one thing we can do is we must keep our affection on God. Isaiah 51 verse 1 says, look to the rock from whence you were hewn or where you came from. It's important for us to look to God, and it's important to us to know that we should not look to God for what he can do, but who he is. He is a loving God who wants to give us what we need the most, his life. And his life is more important than anything he can do for us on this earth. Eternal life will far outweigh anything and everything that God has done for us on this earth. We must choose God and not use God. We must keep our affection on God and not what he does for us. Another thing we can do to keep from becoming a wayward sheep is to renew our mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we don't renew our mind daily, then we can drift away from God easily. So it's important for us to renew our mind daily so that we will not succumb to the temptations of the enemy. One other thing that we can do to keep from becoming a wayward sheep, follow the instruction of God to love him with all of our being and love our neighbor as ourself. Loving God and loving others, that's what the whole kingdom of God is based upon. So following this would ensure that we are following God. God's passion is the same for each of us. He desires to be close to us forever. That's why we have been invited to spend eternity with him in heaven. In the meantime, we should keep our eyes upon the Lord, who is our shepherd, and avoid being a wayward sheep. God wants to hold us close to him. He will correct us when he needs to, but he will do it lovingly. We don't need to feel ashamed or get discouraged, just to look to our Savior and he will help us. Let's pray. Father, if there is anyone under the sound of my voice who is a wayward sheep, I pray that you will deal with their heart. Let them know that you love them and are searching for them, and that it's okay to come back, so that you can cleanse them and make them whole again, and they would feel no condemnation. And I thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.